Ladies and gentlemen, I know I've been away for a little bit. I apologize. You know, a man with three children under five get a little tired. What can I say? At the end of the night, just want to drink a cup of tea, put your head on a pillow and go to sleep. But nevertheless, a lot of things have happened in the NFL world, in the NBA world. But ladies and gentlemen, Tom Brady is back, right? Never thought he left. I want to give you my little Tom Brady intuition from Timmy G. I think, and I just follow the steps, I think he wanted to separate himself from the Tampa Bay Bucks. I do not believe that Tom Brady was thrilled with how Bruce Arians and the organization handled the Antonio Brown vaccination card information. What do I mean by that? That Cook had called and reached out to them and said, hey, listen, Antonio Brown didn't really get vaccinated, and I'm going to make this public unless you guys help me grab my whatever, $30,000, $40,000, which is pennies to the organization. But they just, you know, gave the guy the Heisman, and in return, the story got public, right? And when it got public, I think Tom Brady got a little nervous because the same gentleman, which is Guerrero, is Tom Brady's business partner, is the one that checked in Antonio Brown's vaccination card. And if you don't believe me, please go research. So what does that mean? Just means that I think it was a little tense situation that Tom Brady thinks it could have been avoided. Think of all the years when he was in New England. He never had a deal with that. They kept it close-knit. Actually, Tom Brady's throwing away cell phones during Deflategate. They got the ball boys signing, you know, not whatever they can to keep them silent and all sorts of other crazy things. So I think he was a little aggravated by that. Also, if you paid attention to Bruce Arians, who's the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, my man got tanner as the year went on. He was golfing more. You got to realize Tom Brady's entire foundation of as a football, NFL football player is based on grinding, hard work, competing, getting better, overworking everyone. Hence, there's a reason why the guy was probably one of the best quarterbacks, you know, outside of Aaron Rodgers last year, and he's like 40-some years old, right? He clearly is putting in the work, and I don't believe he thinks that the other players that were having a big impact were having that same type of energy. And I don't know if that's like, you know, Bruce Arians and other coaches, because Bruce Arians does have 45 coaches. He has the most coaches out of anyone in the NFL that I'm aware of. He literally does. His coaching staff is super long. So I think Tom Brady was like, I want to separate from Tampa Bay. Now, here's the other thing that I think that would also say that I'm correct. He didn't, when he announced he was retiring, he did it on Instagram, first of all. And he only said goodbye to Tampa Bay because he was like, peace, Tampa Bay. I'm getting out of there. And I think he wanted to, because he didn't say anything about New England. Then he started getting a bunch of gripe of why didn't you say goodbye to New England? Because he was never leaving. He didn't want to leave. He just wanted to separate himself. He was going to fake pretend he was going to retire. He was hoping that the Buccaneers would go out and make a quarterback move, you know, and make it in a quick, timely fashion. What I think happened behind closed doors is that he pretty much tried to be, I think that he had some conversations with a few teams. I don't know, him or his people, they had to have, just to discuss the possibility. And then I think he went back and talked to Tampa Bay, or Tampa Bay guy, and got that gist and was like, listen, we're not letting you just walk away. We literally want trade compensation, which maybe the other teams didn't want to give up, whatever it may be. I just find it hard to believe that. One, it's clearly he didn't want to retire. His dad's coming out now and saying the media forced him to retire. Get out of here. Tom Brady does what he wants. Clearly controls a lot of different, you know, narratives in the sense. I mean, he's been Deflategate. He's been, you know, the fake fumble. He's been the copying practices or whatever, you know, spying on practices in with New England. So I just find that hard to believe. I think really what I'm telling you is he wanted to get his separation from Bruce Arians. He was pissed off. No one was in there working 24/7. You got to realize his coach in the NFL was Bill Belichick. Okay. So he's used to that. That's his standard. Now, is it fair to put Bruce on that same standard? No. But Bruce got a little bit lazy after that Super Bowl where, and I think that Tom Brady realized that maybe a couple other folks in the squad did too. Whatever that may be. So Tom Brady's back regardless. How about this? How about Russell Wilson getting traded pretty much for Jamal Adams? Now people are going to be like, what do you mean, Tim? Jamal Adams is the safety that got traded from the Jets a few years back to the Seattle Seahawks. They made him the number one safety in the NFL. Okay, so they paid him a bag. Okay. Second of all, they gave up 2 first-round picks. Hence, they didn't have any picks that they just got from Denver. I honestly do believe that if they never trade for Jamal Adams, that if the Seahawks never do, that literally Russ is still on the team. Now, obviously, hindsight's 2020, blah, blah, blah. I get all that. I'm just saying it was pretty crazy to me. Also, Seattle's in a world of hurt now, right? They have Drew Lock as their quarterback, and they haven't made any moves thus far. You know, I guess a guy people would like is Mitch Trubisky. He's off the market. He's in this, you know, he's playing for Pittsburgh, which I think he'll do fine. I think a good coach, a good foundation around you, a good running game with Najee allows you to play well. You see how I'm jumping all around. This is called Timmy driving with Timmy. Okay. Anyways, I think Russ going to Denver is great. I think Seattle's, you know, I don't know if they're rebuild mode or what they're trying to do, but I think it's fine that they made that move. I don't know. I think Russ got kind of either complacent there or he wasn't happy because he looked like, I honestly always thought he was like a, you know, a super fast car. He would start out the year just crushing it and then he'd wear down. So I thought that was interesting. Now here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen, you're still following this. Quarterbacks. Listen, undervalued quarterbacks, overvalued quarterbacks. Who do I think's undervalued? Carson Wentz. Why is he undervalued? Apparently he's Jay Cutler 2.0. You're like, Tim, what do you mean by that? His numbers are way better than Jay Cutler's if you look at it. Yeah, his actually touchdown ratio is like 3-1. Carson actually has phenomenal stats as far as like a quarterback. And people are like, what a phenomenal, he sucks, he choked in the game. No, actually, ladies and gentlemen and Bears fans, I want to let you know 2 things. Our head coach was the defensive coordinator when they lost that game to the Jags and they were down 13-6 very quick. And Trevor Lawrence had his second best game outside of his entire NFL career in the last game of the year where he threw 2 touchdowns. And he only did that one other time. And it was week 1 against Houston, who was clearly, clearly trying to tank, especially out the gate. I mean, new head coach there, they already fired, and all sorts of other things. But anyways, I digress there. But Carson Wentz was undervalued. Who I think is overvalued is Russell Wilson. I really do think he was overvalued. Whatever, he got traded. We'll see how he does in Denver. He's going to have 2 good weapons, actually. And you know, he's got a young running back in Williams. But I honestly lost my taste. I thought Russ Wilson got a little Hollywood. I know he's an intense guy, and I know he wants to win. But I don't know. I don't know what it is, but he irked me the wrong way in Seattle. And don't get me wrong, I watched a tremendous amount of Seattle games. I really did because, one, it was like the coolest stadium I've ever been to. Plus, for my, you know, day job, I do work with clients out there. So always paying attention to the Northwest part of this country. But no, I want to also talk about the trade that could happen. Here's a quarterback trade that I think should happen. If I'm the Arizona Cardinals after Kyler Murray and his dad was a pain in the ass at Texas A&M. You're like, Tim, what are you talking about? He played at Oklahoma. No, go look. He transferred from Texas A&M. He came in there. His dad got all crybaby-ish and was like, my son should be playing. He's the greatest. Like, no offense. Kyler Murray's a good player. He's obviously a great athlete. I mean, got drafted in MLB. He's obviously number 1 pick. But, I mean, you're playing a big boy sport, and son, you're 5'8". You're 5'8", you're shorter than me. Your body's going to take a toll. And if you look at Kyler Murray, another guy starts out like a race car. Go look at it. I had him in fantasy football, so I had to live it. Starts out super hot. Super hot. And then the Cardinals and Kyler Murray start to just suck at the end of the season. In 2 years in a row, They falter at the end of the year. Now, is that Kyler's body breaking down? Probably. It's the NFL. He ain't running around, and they're not letting him do the things he wants to do. Also, taking hits and just the punishment of the NFL, being that type of frame. And he's not thick by any means. He's not, like, super thick. Like, Russell Wilson, he's a shorter guy, too. But even Baker, look at Baker. He get banged up. These smaller guys get banged up. And as if you look as the years go on, and not only that, the season itself. Just look at the seasons. They tend to just get beat up. But I'm the Arizona Cardinals, right? I'm going to go back to my whole point. I call up Houston and I say, listen, I'll give you Kyler and a second round pick. You give me Deshaun Watson. Now, Tim, are you crazy? What are you talking about? Deshaun Watson is the top five quarterback in the NFL. He really is. He played in Houston. I don't even know if they were trying to win half the time he's playing. Now, is the guy a very unique character? Yes. I'm not going to talk about the stuff that he does offline or outside of the field. I'm not going to get into that. You can go research that yourself. But Deshaun Watson is good. Also, he's on contract, I believe, for at least minimum of 2 more years. Plus, you probably could do some franchise tag or whatever. You pretty much have him in your control for the next 3 years. And guess what? The next 2 years, you're only paying him $37 million. Or maybe the next 3 years, you're only paying him $37 million. Now, well, $37 million is a lot of money. Yeah, no joke. But there's going rate in the next year and a half, if not right now. As you've seen with the news of Aaron Rodgers signing $1 billion, and now he's not going to have anyone to throw the ball to, it's probably close to $50 million. And that's what Kyler and his people want, $50 million. So you're getting Deshaun Watson for $13 million less. If you're Houston, what are you getting better than that? A couple first-round picks? Listen, whatever team Deshaun Watson going to, they're probably going to be pretty decent. And also, how do you get another Kyler Murray if you're Houston? Going to be pretty hard. I know I just made fun of the guy, and you know, but he's still an elite athlete. He's still a good quarterback. He's one of the top quarterbacks, actually. Better than any quarterback I've had in Chicago. So you would be able to get that if Houston. So I think that's a win-win. I'm not sure if Houston has a brain and they know how to do it. You know, it's kind of like the same teams consistently aren't good, right? Look at the Jaguars in the last 24 hours. They literally signed Christian Kirk, whatever his name is. Yeah, Christian Kirk. He's the third highest paid wide receiver. Now, half of you don't even know who that is. You're going to have to go research. Just let me know. This guy was like the second and third wide receiver. He's pretty much the third wide receiver when everyone was healthy in Arizona, okay? In a spread offense that's throwing the ball all day, all the time. Now, he didn't even crack 1,000 yards there. And AJ Green was in and out, banged up. And then Hopkins, he was obviously never practices. He really doesn't ever. And then he doesn't even, you know, he was injured at the end of the year. Kirk is a good player, but the Jaguars gave this guy to make him the third highest. I mean, he's getting paid more than every other wide receiver besides three, which is like Adams, maybe Tyreek Hill, who knows who else. But the Jaguars are spending money like they hate it. I feel like, you know, they were just on, you know, they were drunk going on Uber Eats late at night trying to get a quick bite and just end up buying five or six things and then regretting the heck out of it, spending $50 on some late night snacks. That's what the Jaguars were doing, but they were doing that in the middle of the day. So there's no excuses for that. At least you could blame a buzz when you spend too much money on Uber Eats. I don't know what they blame here. Can't blame Urban Meyer. He already left. You already fired him. You're still paying him. But this is a quarterback league, ladies and gentlemen. Deshaun Watson will be moved. Will Christian McCaffrey be moved? Good question. I'm not going to get into the Bears today because I just wanted to give you driving with Timmy G. What's on his mind? What is he thinking? We're going to get in the D-tackle that the Bears signed. I'm not going to jump into that right now. I'm sure it's, you know, he's got to be pretty decent, right? Obviously. It seemed like we jumped out and got him. I know a lot of people wanted us to jump out and get DJ Clark Jr. or go out and get one of these wide receivers because we, you know, Fields does need some weapons. But, I mean, just take it as it goes. You don't need to overpay these guys. You need consistency and you need guys that are going to work. I think that was the problem, based on the knowledge I have, is Allen Robinson probably wasn't the hardest worker in the room. Probably why he couldn't get separation. When you half-ass practice, buddy, your performance is half-assed. I'm curious on how much money he'll get paid. It is the NFL. I'm sure he'll get overpaid. But we'll see what happens here. I do believe that was a steal by the Washington Commanders, which is a unique name, getting Carson Wentz. I don't think Carson Wentz is great, but I don't think he's horrible. Now, the issue I don't know about Carson Wentz, he's got to be such a pain in the ass and no one likes him on the team. Seriously, because none of his teammates came out and supported him when trade rumors were coming. And then, you know, same thing with Drew Lock, right? No one's supporting him for Denver. They were trying to get rid of his ass. They didn't like him. So whatever that may be, I know talent is one thing, but, you know, a lot to be desired with both those personalities, it looks like, just from the support of other teammates. In the meantime, it's just starting. Free agency, there's going to be a couple more pops. We'll see where this big Deshaun Watson trade in the next, you know, 24 hours. You got Jimmy Garoppolo still out there. You know, I want Tom Brady to write a book. I really do believe he wanted to play for the 49ers. I think he would have loved it in California. I just don't believe that the 49ers committed to him. And this would be the second time the 49ers did this. The first time, ladies and gentlemen, was when he picked the Bucks. He tried to go to San Fran, and they told him, nah, we're good with Jimmy G. Tommy didn't like that. And if you go back and look at his interviews over the last 2 years, he actually states them, but he doesn't say the 49ers. In the meantime, NCAA tournament, St. Paddy's Day. I mean, I hope you're filling out brackets. I hope you got squares. I hope you're doing some other things with the tournament. It's going to be an amazing couple days here. I plan on getting in maybe tomorrow, maybe after the first weekend, and break this down. You know, a little bit of knowledge on the NCAA tournament. I love the SEC, okay? I love Dayton. I love the SEC. There's a couple other dark horses I love, but I think there's going to be upset city. I think the Big Ten going to have a rough tournament again. Multiple reasons. They're not healthy. Wisconsin without Jordan Davis, he's limited, looks real, you know, banged up. I think out of all the teams, Iowa's playing the best. I think Illinois, too banged up. They're going to have some trouble. Also, they're going to run into their second round team and they don't match up well against that team. But nevertheless, enjoy yourselves. I will try to make this a weekly commitment. I've been saying that. I just don't put the time or energy in. But nevertheless, you have a phenomenal day. Enjoy St. Paddy's Day. Enjoy the NCAA tournament. Enjoy free agency. And not only that, baseball. We're talking about baseball? Yeah, that still exists. A lot of moves to come. We'll see if any of the Chicago teams get their hands a little dirty and stop being cheap. Maybe get Carrera out here on the north side. But we'll see what happens. Stay happy, my friends. The Mouth, Timmy G, he's out.